This is episode 157 on April 7th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you. Welcome.
It's another week. It's another... Well, yeah, it's just another week. How are you doing, man?
Good, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing good. I've just been... It's been crazy busy at work. I'm actually going to be doing some overtime, straight overtime tomorrow. So, on a Friday, I just don't want them to keep doing this every week. It's not going to be fun. But I'm a little tired, but other than that, I am doing good. What you been up to?
Well, I don't want to complain, but it's been one heck of a week for me as well. For starters, I tweaked my back again.
What?
Oh, dude. So I'll just give you the brief synopsis. Basically, the way things worked out was I was in Cleveland over the weekend. We had this crazy snowstorm Saturday night.
Oh, man.
And so we decided to just stay in Cleveland. And we got my son to bed, and he fell asleep in the bed that I would have slept in.
Oh,
and
no.
I decided rather than try to move him into a crib, which at this point he's probably too big for anyway, that I'll just leave him on the bed and I'll just sleep on the couch. My wife said to me, "No, don't do that. Your back's really going to hurt tomorrow."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "No, it'll be fine." And guess which one of us was correct?
She was correct.
So despite Dave, that's a true story. He says, staying in Cleveland, first mistake. So, you know, my back was kind of just sore on Sunday. I decided that if I did a little bit of stretching, took some ibuprofen, and put some Icy Hot on my back, that I could go and play my indoor soccer game.
Oh, no.
So let me just say, don't do that. That's a terrible, terrible idea. So the first three quarters of my soccer game, I was really kicking some butt, scored two goals. And
nice.
Had a really good game. The last like 10, 15 minutes of the game were absolutely horrible. I could barely run. And also by that time I was sufficiently sweaty. And I found out that sweat makes Icy Hot very, very painful.
Yeah. Ooh.
So that was good times. And so I've spent pretty much the majority of this week so far with some level of back pain. I'm getting it treated and working through it and whatnot. I'm almost at 90%.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And other than dealing with that, I've been furiously uploading pictures to the Amazon cloud thing. I really kind of like that.
Yes.
And then the other thing I did was try to focus on our challenge this week, which was food photography. And I found it difficult, not so much because it's a genre of photography that I don't typically do. I found it difficult because it's a genre of photography I don't typically do. I kept forgetting to do it.
Yes.
So like on Saturday in Cleveland, we went to this really awesome Italian restaurant. And the plate of food that they put in front of me, I really should have taken a picture of it. And I didn't even think of it until after I ate it.
Oh.
You know, and I was like, oh, man, this would have been perfect for the challenge. But that's okay. I set up something at home the other day, and I think it worked out. I think it possibly was successful. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I didn't actually – my idea that I was planning on doing – was to take a picture of a plate that had just been eaten off of and it was completely gone. But, you know, what's the first thing you do once you clear your plate? Throw it in the sink. And so I kept forgetting to take a picture of my empty plate.
See, I thought the answer for, to your question was go get seconds.
Go get seconds, yes. But like you, I had totally forgotten to do it. But our listeners had not. So we have plenty to talk about then.
Very good.
Oh, one of the things I did this week was I talked to a friend of mine about his images. He, it was Saturday. I helped a buddy of mine change the fuel pump on the truck that he has. Used to be my truck. And I had changed a fuel pump about 8 years prior. And so we got in a conversation about images and, you know, what we do with our images. And he says that his wife has a camera and she would take the SD cards. And instead of taking the pictures off the SD card, she'd just go get another SD card and fill it up. And I'm like, ooh, that could be problematic. Number one, what happens if you lose your SD cards? Number two, what happens if they become corruptible? Or, you know, what happens if later in the future, you know, SD cards can no longer be read because there's no machines to be able to read them? And he's like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. And so I mentioned, like you said, I mentioned to him the Amazon photos. And so he is looking to take all those images off, copy them off of the SD cards and then upload them to Amazon. And it's just one of those things that we probably as photographers need to do is talk to our friends and let them know, hey, you could lose all your images, and it doesn't take very much for that to happen. If there's flooding, if there's fire, theft, or just plain lose them. You know, what happens if in the course of moving, a box disappears and all your images are in that box? Or what happens if over time those memory cards get corrupted? Whether it be from longevity or you happen to have some powerful magnet that, you know, it just, you never know what would happen. So we had a very good conversation on what do you do with your images, you know, and I told him about printing. I told him about Amazon and you know, having a backup, hard drive. And he says, oh yeah, I got one of those. And I said, well, what happens if that gets lost? He goes, oh, I didn't think about that. So there's a lot of things we can do to talk. Oh yeah. Dave says, they go into the wash. How many times have you, left a card in your pocket and went through the wash? And most of the time, nothing happens to it, but you don't want that to be the time to figure out if something will happen or not. And I think there was an article on Petapixel. I was listening to the Petapixel photography podcast, and they were talking about a photographer, a wedding photographer, that had just left her gear in her car and somebody stole it. And right after a wedding, you know, things like that happen. You don't think it may happen to you, but you don't want that to... You don't want that scenario to be played out when you can be able to put your images in multiple places and you know that they'll be safe. You know that you can find them. So probably something you guys need to talk about with your friends.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never heard of anybody just leaving the pictures on an SD. Well, I know that plenty of people probably leave them on an SD card, but not...
Yeah.
Not specifically as a storage.
Yeah.
That would freak me out. There's no way. You know, I usually get good SD cards for my camera, but there's no way I would just leave the the pictures on there.
Now, I have images still on my my CS cards with my Canon camera, but those images had already been copied onto my hard drive. I just leave them on there, and then if something were to happen, I know that those copies are there. But eventually, I'll reformat those cards and start all over. But I don't leave images on there that I know, you know, something can happen to them. They come off either as a copy or they're, you know, copied and then formatted.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we've been talking about backing up and all that kind of stuff a lot lately. And it's, for I think because of that, it's been on my mind a lot lately. So
I have been pretty proactive. How many images have you backed up onto Amazon yet?
A few thousand so far.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine at about 16.5 thousand that I've already uploaded.
Wow.
Out of 35,000.
I suppose that if I decide to upload everything, I could get to that number, but not just iPhone pictures.
Yeah. Mine are a lot of my kids, a lot of, you know, things that I know my kids are going to go through one day and they're going to see images of themselves. And I'm waiting for the program that'll come out where it says, oh, just throw them all in there and we'll show you how your kids grew, you know, over time. So cool. All right. Well, let's do this. We're going to go ahead and jump into a little bit of news.
News team, assemble!
All right. We're going to talk about a phone that is not an iPhone. And you're like, what? No, we had mentioned in a few episodes back about Huawei's phone with the twin lens cameras. And they're actually going to announce it in a couple of days. I think it's going to be on Saturday that they're going to make an announcement. And it's called the Huawei P9. It has two lenses, and I think right now what we have are just kind of renderings. Whether or not this is what it's going to look like, we don't know. But there's a lot of people confirming the rumors, and there's another article that we will have posted that are it says first photos taken with the Leica Co. engineered Huawei P9, and the images look good. I'm not saying they're anything groundbreaking, but it's I was talking to Mark earlier today, and we were talking about this a little bit. And what, you know, when you have two lenses that are side by side, there's going to be anomalies, and so the programs have to be written in a way where it can correct those anomalies, where things don't line up exactly the same as what the other camera is picking up. And the images that I'm looking at right now look decent. I don't see anything that's jumping out at me saying, oh, look, yeah, you see that kind of a double, almost like a double exposure. You don't see any of that. And I think, you know, we still don't, you know, I would like to see it for myself. If I can get my hands on one, whether or not the iPhone 7, whatever variation it's going to be, will have two camera lenses is yet to be determined also. But I don't know what the advantages or the disadvantages to having it. So I thought it would be good to kind of, you know, talk about it a little bit and, you know, bounce some thoughts off of each other and kind of speculate a little bit and see where it went. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I checked out the article too. Basically, what it was a handful of photographers that are prominent on the platform IM. They were asked to go out and shoot with this phone, and the idea was to kind of push the limits of what the phone might be capable of, kind of similar to what Apple did with the Sports Illustrated. What'd they shoot, a baseball game or something?
Yeah, it was a Giants game. Woohoo! Sorry.
Very forgettable. In any case, so a lot of the pictures that these photographers took, and they're over in Europe, it seems, mostly, but they did a lot of like kind of low light kind of stuff, and the low light pictures, in my opinion, they definitely look like a higher quality image than what the iPhone can produce. That's just kind of at a quick glance. Like there's a picture that's, you know, it's taken at night and there's some light trails in the picture, and it really looks like pretty clean. I mean, there's some noise in the picture, but overall it's a really pleasing picture. There's another shot of like some skyscrapers, and the lighting kind of makes it look like dusk or something like that, and the sky is kind of noisy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not really impressed with that picture. And then all the other pictures, like the daytime pictures, like, you know, you could have just told me they were taken with an iPhone 5S or something, and I would have just said, oh, okay. Like, you know, to me, they're not anything like super spectacular, but overall, I think they look pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that the article kind of would have went into more like detail about the pictures and about like what the dual cameras on this phone are actually doing.
That's probably because these photographers don't know.
Yeah. So like, you know, like if they had, I don't know, just like any other smartphone, like, I wouldn't have cared what kind of smartphone it was. If it was a high-end Samsung or another Huawei phone or something that just had, you know, a plain old, you know, smartphone camera, if they would have taken the same picture and then taken the picture with this new P9, you know, I just want to know, like, what is the difference? What are we getting out of these two lenses?
That may come later as the camera gets into the hands of more people. But in honesty, I mean, so, okay, we are a iPhone photography podcast, and that's just, I don't want to say that's, you know, we've cornered ourselves, but at the same time, we know that the iPhone is not the probably the latest or greatest of camera phones that we have. There are a lot of great cameras in Android, other, you know, we're not going to be here saying, okay, we're going to pick it apart and say, oh, that's terrible. How can, you know, the iPhone could do better than that. And, you know, honesty, a good photographer can take a camera and make art with it, whether it's an iPhone or whether it's a Huawei or an Android or anything else, a pinhole with a piece of film in there. I don't know if there's anything that this camera is screaming at me saying, yes, I really want dual lens.
Yeah. There's another article out there that talks a little bit more about it. And it doesn't specifically say like what the focal length of the lenses are, but I'm getting the impression that they're both the same focal length. And basically, One lens records to a sensor that is color, and the other one records to a sensor that's monochrome.
Mm.
And then if you're using the sensors together, it supposedly improves contrast by 50%, and that there's a 300% increase in the amount of light that the camera can detect. So, I mean, that 300%, I suppose that's cool. It just means it could probably focus a little better in lower light, you know, focus better and focus slightly faster. The contrast thing, I suppose that makes sense if you're combining a color and like essentially a black and white picture together. That is like a technique that you could use to increase contrast. But you know, right now you can do that just with a regular picture and some editing.
Yeah, I'm. All right, so the chat room says, like Bill says, he thought initially that there it was just two lenses, but apparently they're two complete cameras. And then Dave says, reiterating kind of like what I was saying, in our group, he's seen 4S pictures that are amazing. Deep knowledge of the equipment is the greatest aid. And that's true. One of these articles, actually, here it is, says that the focal length is a 27 millimeter. It said,
I'm looking at this other one here. It actually says that they're both 24 millimeter, F2.2 lenses.
Yeah. So we don't know. That's plain and simple.
I'm still excited about two lenses, but not for the reasons that they did with this phone. I don't know, focusing in low light, that's always good.
Yeah.
But the contrast thing, I don't care about. I personally don't really care to have my editing done for me with the camera. You know what I mean? Like, just take the picture and then I'll decide what the contrast is going to be. You know, maybe with this increased contrast, maybe it's too much contrast and I'll end up, instead of going into like Snapseed or Nlight and boosting contrast like I do now, I'll have to take it away.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
I don't know. To me, like, even it's this way with the iPhone too. You know, they're always trying to keep you in their apps and keep you just in like the Apple ecosystem. But like, to me, that's no fun. You know, I just want to, I use the native camera on the iPhone a lot.
Yes.
So I don't have any problem with the camera, but I don't use the Photos app to edit. You know, I like playing with the other apps. I like seeing like what else is out there. And to me, it's just, you know, you could get a lot more creative if you're using the third party stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for them to like try to do it all. Like, don't take the fun of editing away from me.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where this is going to go. I'm not one to say, oh, I wish I hope to have this. But, you know, there was a camera, and I can't remember if it was a hoax or if it was real, where it was a phone, but it was like the whole back was covered with lenses of different sizes. Do you recall anything like that?
Yeah, it's called the Light Camera. It's not a hoax. It's a real thing.
Okay. Is it still a thing?
It's fairly new, so yeah, I hope so.
Okay. Well, we'll have to look into that. The Light Camera. Matt DeVore in the chat says it's real. If Matt says it's real, then it must be real.
Yeah, he is very trustworthy.
All right. Well, cool. I guess in a couple of days, we'll probably get more information. The 9th is when it will come out, and this podcast will probably, I think, most likely be published on the 9th. So if you're listening to it right now, go ahead and look for it, and we'll see where that goes. All right. Is there anything that you want to bring up?
No, we can move on to the next thing.
All right. I was going to talk about something, but I'm going to push that off till next week. I think it's time we jumped into Post Pick of the Week. Post Pick of the Week. All right. Like we talked about earlier in this episode, our weekly photo challenge was food. And who doesn't like food?
I'm a big fan.
Me too. we had a lot of submissions in the Facebook group, and it was really cool to see. It's really neat to see what people are thinking when you bring up a topic. Whatever the challenge is, people have their own interpretations. Others have different, you know, maybe the same thing, but a different look, or even a different type of edit. We had everything from food that was in the ground to desserts and you know, stuff that you wish you can just reach in and take so that you can try it yourself. So it was really good, and I want to thank everybody who participated. Let me pull up the images. But
we need Apple to acquire some sort of company that's incorporating smell technology into photographs.
Smell and taste.
Oh, I would be so fat right now after this challenge.
Oh, yeah. All right. So the image, it's my turn to pick. And the image that I chose was a really yummy dessert. It looks really good. And Ruth Podner had posted an image, it looks like, of a muffin. And it looks like cream cheese, icing, or not icing, what's it called? Frosting, with like strawberry on top and then some sort of a chocolate Rice crispy ball or something like that on top of it. Oh, it looks good. Dave, you're going to have to fill us in with the details if I'm right or not. But the image, what really stands out with the image is the color. The red, either syrup or jam that's on top really sticks out. And there are other muffins or cupcakes in the background that are, it's like she took last week's challenge and this week's challenge and put them together, because they're slightly out of focus, and so everything is focused in on the one in the front. The ones in the backgrounds are out of focus, and it just makes for a good image. And I really liked it. And the one thing that Matt and I talked about off the air was, you know, how do we pick a good food image? Well, if the image makes you want to eat it, I think that you've hit it out of the park with the with the image. So I guess the key to the success of a good food photography image is, do you want to eat whatever is in the image? Does it make you long for it? Because anybody can take pictures of food. We see that all the time on Instagram. But is it really something we're thinking, oh man, that looks good, I really would like it. So I guess Ruth, the image that Ruth posted was one that I said, I wish I could have one of those. What are your thoughts, Matt?
Well, I would say if she wanted to bake some of these up and send them to Tiny Shutter headquarters, which is now located in Canton, Ohio.
Dang it.
That'd be pretty sweet. No, I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, I look at this picture and all I could think is like, oh my gosh, I want that.
Yeah.
And you know, when I think about like if I'm looking for like new recipes to make for dinner or whatever, 9 times out of 10, it's not because what I'm reading in the recipe sounds good. It's because the accompanying picture looks absolutely delicious. And I'm like, oh, well, I want that. I want to eat that. And that's exactly what Ruth's picture does. You know, it makes me want to eat it. So that's, in my book, that's a very successful food photograph.
Yeah. Very cool. Congratulations, yeah, Ruth. All right, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's very evident that I don't do food photography. Like, my approach was almost more like still life than,
yeah,
you know,
like
that's
good.
That's just how my brain works, I guess.
No, and there are a lot, like I have some friends that everything, it seems like everything that they take pictures of is a still life. And it's cool, you know, but sometimes who was it? I was listening to somebody and they were talking about food photography. And sometimes, you know, perfection is not what people want to see. Because when they see their own plate, they don't see perfection. They see a complete mess. And sometimes for it to look real, it has to be a little messy because people can identify with that. And still lifes are typically not messy. They're very neat and orderly, very much thought out. And so sometimes those images aren't, you know, I'll kind of gloss over. I liked yours. And I had my wife look through the images too, because I like to see what she thinks of the images before we choose. And she saw yours. She goes, oh, I like that one. I said, yeah, but we're not picking his. And so not to say that there's anything wrong with your image, but sometimes you have to think, okay, what would make me want to eat it? And sometimes, you know, imperfection is the key of having a good image. Something that's a little bit messy. Not so much that it's distracting, but is it realistic too? So just my thoughts on that.
No, I totally agree with you. Yeah, mine's a little too sterile and not realistic.
Was it good?
I actually threw it away.
Oh.
So here's the other thing about food photography, and I know this because I read about all kinds of photography, even though I don't shoot food photography, but you have to work fast.
Oh yeah.
You know, especially if you have like light shining on the food and stuff. Like by the time I was done, like I was trying to think of like other pictures to take besides, you know, the one I posted, and like the granola was really kind of like getting absorbed into the yogurt, and you know, things were just becoming not pleasant anymore. And I was like, huh, all right, well, I guess we're done.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Congratulations, Ruth. You did an awesome image. This is going to go up on our Facebook banner, and we'll also be part of our album art. So if you want to be chosen as post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and submit Facebook and on Flickr and submit your images where we have the weekly photo challenge. If you don't submit images, go through and look at what people are doing. There's a lot of inspiring stuff that we see. You know, the images that we post are not the greatest. We're not the greatest photographers in the world, but we have a lot of excellent photographers in our group. So, you know, I think I was talking to Mark. We were kind of complaining out loud about other podcasts. And a lot of times people will come on a podcast and, you know, the theme around them coming on a podcast is that they're the greatest and that they do really good stuff. And, you know, you should buy their book and go to their seminars and do all that. And I'm thinking, man, we've got some excellent people in our group. You know, who needs to buy a book or go to a seminar when you can hang around these guys and see all the awesome images that they're posting? You know, we're lucky, you know, we're lucky to be able to sit here and talk about it while, you know, our listeners are the ones that are doing some really great work. And, you know, that's, I think, one thing about our podcast that we like is that we have people that are very talented and, you know, we're not afraid to, you know, to say it, you know. So if you're on the fence about joining the Facebook group or the Flickr group, don't jump in. You know, you're probably going to add to the awesome images that we see. And not only that, be inspired by the other listeners and hopefully us, but, but yeah, so if you haven't, do it. Our weekly photo challenge for this week is going to be Snapseed. So we're going to take a individual app, and you can do a lot with Snapseed. And we're going to post our edits for our weekly photo challenge. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So I look forward to
that. Reminds me. Let me just tell you a story real quick.
Okay.
So I don't use Snapseed as much as I used to, but I was using it today. I on the way home from work, stopped at this lake that's in the town that I live and went out on this like fishing pier kind of thing. And there was like this crazy storm blowing in and the clouds looked really cool and everything. So I was shooting like out towards the lake from this fishing pier, and I decided to do a panoramic picture. So I was doing all these HDRs with Vivid HDR with the intention of stitching them together in auto stitch.
Yeah.
So I took all the pictures. It was like 7 pictures. Got in my car, stitched them together with auto stitch. I'm like, oh yeah, it looks cool. Threw it in Snapseed and I start editing it with Snapseed because I had a particular look in mind that I knew Snapseed could do. So I get it like I got it done in Snapseed and I threw it in some other app to do something else to it. And I zoomed in on the picture and noticed that it didn't line up right, like when it got stitched together in auto stitch. And I was like, oh no, dang. So I deleted everything and then loaded the 7 pictures back in auto stitch because I thought, well, maybe it just messed up. Maybe I'll try it again. But no, I think it was too windy today. I think I moved around a little too much.
Oh.
So I had to scrap the whole thing.
Oh.
I was bummed out.
Yeah. I was taking a picture of a church. I was doing the same thing. And I noticed that the top of the steeple there was no way that the auto stitch could make it look right. And so I was like, I'm going to have to go out there and try maybe a few less images to stitch together and see if that works. But Oh, question came up about the post pick of the week. Should we show both the pre and the post edits? And then there was something else that I thought of. I think we should do pre and post edit. There are apps that you can use. Well, I guess
I think what you should do is just, you know, post your picture and then comment on your picture, and in that comment post the original.
Yes. Post the original in the comment for your submission. And the other thing I was thinking, maybe we should take the picture with Snapseed instead of the native camera app. Make it an all-in-one thing.
I didn't even know Snapseed had a camera.
Yes. So when you open up Snapseed, go ahead and open up Snapseed. It'll ask you... Oops. Is there open? Open. Actually... Why is
it? Yeah, how about that?
Snapseed, open photo, and then it asks open from device, camera, or open latest image. And so when you choose the camera, you can actually take the picture from Snapseed. You have all the same things that you can do. You can set the focus and the exposure, adjust the exposure. But there's no option to do video and or panoramic. So let's do that. Let's do it straight from the app itself. Open it up in Snapseed, get the image, and then do the edit. I think that'll be a little bit more challenging because a lot of times we'll take multiple pictures, go through the pictures that we and look for the best one out of the group. This, I think, will help us to slow down, compose it, and then get the picture. What do you think?
I'm not a huge fan, but I'll do it.
Yeah, okay. All right. So the weekly photo challenge is going to be Snapseed. We're going to take the image with Snapseed, and then we're going to make the edits, but then we're also going to post in the comments of our edited image the original so that we can see a before and after.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can check me out on Instagram, IM, Twitter, and Flickr at M. Hoffman Photo.
Very cool. Quickly, tell everybody about Flickr in case they haven't heard.
We now have a tiny shutter group on Flickr. To find it, you just go to www.flickr.com/groups/tiny shutter. We do the weekly challenge in the Flickr group as well, so you could post there. We have well over 300 pictures in the group. We have a number of different conversation topics going, and about 30 members right now. So come on over and join that crowd.
Yeah, very cool. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, links to Facebook, Flickr. You can even find our email address, which is tinyshutter@gmail.com, and go there and take a look around. It's going to be tinyshutter.com. If you can and are willing, go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. We need to have people go there so that we can kind of move up in the rankings. People can see us and start to listen. There's probably a lot of people out there just like you that have no idea that we're around. The type of community that we have, this virtual camera club, and people are looking. And so it's a good way for people to be able to find us. All right. I think we're done. Good show, Matt.
All right, Joe. It was fun.
Yeah. All right. And we will see everybody next week. Say goodbye, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.